You are listening to Making Bank, where we uncover the mindset and success strategies of the top 1% so you can amplify your life and your business.
This episode of Making Bank is right now, right here at the right time, just for you. Packed full of amazing guests from Joel Marion, Drew Manning, Barney Waters, Cody Sperber, Aaron Stokes, delivering the right message right now at the right time to you. How to persevere, how to push through having God in your life, and how you can get through these tough times through grit, mindset, focus, and determination. And stay tuned right now for this new episode of Making Bank. What was, I guess, a couple of the biggest challenges that you really had to overcome to get, I guess, even to that million or multi-million?
Yeah, I mean, God, I'm sure well, every person million. You talk yeah. to has that, like, it's such a long list. Big ones, the initial period was all overcoming self-limiting beliefs. I looked young. Why would anybody think I'm going to pay cash for their house? I drove a piece of crap Nissan pickup truck. I'm pulling up to their house. I look like I'm 12. My pitch is, I'm going to pay cash for your house and stop your foreclosure. They're like, okay, go get your dad and come on back. And so I had a lot of self-limiting beliefs in emotional baggage from being that kid that was bullied, that had constant change, trying to prove myself to my parents and to the world that I'm worthy of making money and I can do this. So that was a large portion of it. And then overwhelm was a large portion of it. I was getting very overwhelmed. Real estate can seem very complicated.
Sure.
Especially when you're new and you don't have money and you don't have a mentor. And so I was floundering a lot that first year, trying different things. And I was the typical wannabe-preneur that, you know, knew that I really couldn't do or hack anything else. Like, I'm only an entrepreneur because I would really suck at everything else.
Right.
I wish it was, it's so difficult to be an entrepreneur and run businesses and build teams and scale and all that stuff that I wish I could just go get a 9-to-5 and be great at that. Unfortunately, I'm not designed that way.
Right.
I don't thrive in that environment. I think there's two types of entrepreneurs, and I think I've done a good job hiring intrapreneurs, which are people that have a big vision and that like autonomy and that are very talented, that can be part of a team or a big, even bigger vision of a lead entrepreneur. So it's multiple entrepreneurs in alignment. But yeah, I was struggling with a lot of overwhelm. It felt like I was drinking from a fire hose. So I was dealing with that. And then I had failed partnerships where I started partnerships with people and I picked the wrong partners. I didn't understand. I thought, I'm aggressive, they're aggressive, let's go be aggressive together and we're gonna go make all this money. But 1 + 1 has to equal 5. It can't equal 2.
Sure.
And especially if they're too aggressive, dominant salespeople or marketing people or whatever, which was where I always leaned more towards. And so I picked the wrong partners. She cleaned out my bank account one day. I remember being we closed a big deal. It was like $75,000 or $80,000 in the bank account. And she cleaned it out and called me up and said, I don't want to be your partner anymore. And that was a big hurdle. Getting into legal troubles, not filling out my paperwork correctly, not getting stuck into bad deals. I mean, there's literally dozens of these moments where you're laying in bed at night and you're so angry and you feel like this injustice is happening as an entrepreneur and you feel helpless and you got to make a call. Like, you can either keep crying about it and whining about it, or you got to get up the next day, wake up, bounce back and have that bounce back spirit, learn from it and keep moving forward. And I have been fortunate enough that for the dozens, if not hundreds of mistakes or marketing things where I throw, people know me now and they see this life.
Right.
Where it's like, I'm on Facebook. I spend millions of dollars in advertising.
Right.
And they're like, dude, this guy's got it all figured out. I can't tell you, there's not a week that goes by. Before we started this, I was yelling at my marketing team going, dude, we spent $20,000 and got no sales from it. What the heck is going on? You know, so it happens constantly. But that willing to take those risks and try those things, for all of those failures, I've significantly made way more money and had more wins because I was willing to take those risks and fight through those challenges.
So through that, and obviously, you know, as entrepreneurs, we have a lot of those failures. I mean, I've had bad partnerships and people wipe out the bank account and you're like, what? There's only $1 left, you know, and everything. But for you, what keeps you going? What drives you through that? You know, because some people hit that and they're like, ah, man, and they give up, or, you know, oh, yeah, this happened to me. But what pushes you and gets you there to that next day, that next day?
Yeah, well, in the beginning, it was necessary for me to make money. I was so broke.
Right.
I had to fight through it. I didn't have a choice. But as I started growing, I think a couple of things. Family. I had some pretty big whys in my life of wanting to help my dad and retire my dad. You know, he's gone through some things. He's always been there for me, and he was my hero growing up. And then being empowered through my real estate income to be able to give back to him. I retired my dad right around the time I was becoming a millionaire. I was able to retire
That's
my
awesome.
Parents. He actually now works for me, and it's been the greatest blessing of my life to be able to go to work every single day and work with my family.
You know, we have our sights set high, but yeah, I mean, we're starting to get green shoots and success, but that's come from a lot of, you know, failing and losing and being in that position where nobody wants you and nobody returns your calls, and, you know, trying to be relentless, trying to be, you know, never give up. It's all those same things that everybody goes through who's in this, who's in an entrepreneurial situation. You know, it's what makes you keep going back and not giving up. That's the something you got to have in your DNA.
What are you learning from these guys that's helped moving them forward every day?
Yeah, I think, look, you got to be really open to keep learning. I think that's one thing that, since I took over as president, is when I was in the marketing world for so long, I really was pretty good at it. You know, I had it down.
Right.
And when I got put into the president role, I didn't know what I was doing. And so it was great for me because I was learning again. So I think I've been super open to, like, not act like you've got it. And hey, I know what I'm doing here. It's like, I'm reading, I'm studying again. You know, I read books with a highlighter pen. And I know that the people that in this culture of entrepreneurship are constantly learning from each other.
Right.
I'll listen to what you talk about. So I'm going to learn from you. I'm going to read a book by somebody else. I might listen to Tom Bilyeu and learn something from him. So it's sharing of information and being open to that, and not only taking, but putting back in as well. So I think I've learned that. Number one is there's a ton of knowledge out there now with podcasts, YouTube, you know, social. There's no excuse for not knowing anything or not studying. It's all out there really in really fun form.
And accessible, easy.
And accessible. And the other thing I've learned is that a lot of really successful people just went for it without a lot of background knowledge.
Yes.
You know, we just stumble blindly in.
Right.
And I think my approach was always, I've got to know everything before I take the step.
For sure.
I've realized that it's 99% people took the step and then figured it out on the way.
And that's the truth. I think that's what a lot of it is. I mean, I've owned 15 companies over the years since I was 14 years old. And so I don't think any of them, I knew what I was doing when I started. It was just, let's just do it and figure it out. And, you know, and it's the relentlessness and the grit and, you know,
exactly,
that pushes you through every day.
Exactly.
But I had my first 100 rejected, you know, and I feel like a lot of people have a similar experience whenever they're trying to get their foot in the door of a new industry. They're getting a lot of rejections. They're getting a lot of no's. They're getting a lot of doors slammed in their face. And they give up on maybe try, for most people, like try number two, maybe three, you know. It didn't work out. I tried it, and, you know, it wasn't for me, I guess. Yeah, like literally 100 rejections, and I'm still plowing away. And I wouldn't be where I am today had I not been persistent in that. For longevity in this space, you have to be willing to change and adapt. The internet is changing, you know, and I think most of the people listening to this are people who have online businesses. Everything is always changing. It moves faster than I can think about my next move, right? So you just have to be prepared to be agile and adapt. The people who have are making way more money. It's gotten harder and harder to make money every year on the internet. Somehow I'm making more money in 2019 than I was in 2017, than I was in 2013. You know, it's just, I find more ways to bolt on new things, new strategies, new resources, and I adapt. And most people don't do that. They come in, they find something that works, it's hot for a quick minute, and then next thing you know, it's not working anymore, and they're not willing to do what it takes to capitalize on the next trend.
I did a lot of things wrong. There's a lot of things I could have done differently. It went horribly wrong, but I fought. Man, I fought. And I fought from 2012 when I got stolen from till 2015. And it was just an absolute, I don't know, man. It, It crushed me. It changed my personality, changed who I am still to this day. And it humbled me. It took the wind out of me. You know, at 33 years old, I had made $960,000 on three locations, doing $4.5 million, you know, and I was a youth pastor till 27. So between 27 and 33, I went from making 30,000 a year to 960,000 in 6 years. Like every year was a hundred, you know, the first year's $100,000 jump, then it's $180,000 jump, then a $200,000 jump, another 200,000. It was just happening so fast, I couldn't even adjust to it.
Right.
And because I didn't come from a middle class family, because I came from such a poor environment,
Sure.
to move the needle. And for those that have grown up poor, you know what I'm talking about. It's like it's a mind job to adjust. But if you didn't grow up poor and you grew up middle class, you can adjust a little quicker. If you grew up wealthy, you can adjust a lot quicker. I couldn't. And it was hard for me. And I still to this day, I know I hired that guy, and I think I hired that guy because I felt guilty about what I was making. And it was crazy to wake up and make almost $1 million in 2012, and then lose $1 million in 2012. To wake up as a loser and a winner in the same day on different sides of the bed was just a mind job for me. I can't even describe how hard that time was. Ended up reading a book in 2015 by Ryan Holiday called The Obstacle's the Way. That book was just a groundbreaking book for me, man. In the book, he talks about Marcus Aurelius coming up in a battle, and there's like a mountain. I think there's water and something. I'm butchering the story, but basically there's four or five different ways you can go to
Sorry,
get around the
Ryan.
enemy. And in the book, he basically says, don't go around the enemy. Just go head straight into the enemy, head straight into it, hit the target. And I was like, okay, so go head first. Yeah, go head first. I'm like, all right, here I go. And long story short, that book gave me the courage and gave me my mojo back. I stomped around our master bedroom telling my wife, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this. And she's like, okay. And I was like, I was pissed off. I was just stomping around the bed back and forth. And she's sitting in the bed reading, and she's like, what's gotten into you? But I mean, it was bad. I mean, I'm broke. My debt payments are $122,000 a month. If I did not, I mean, you got to remember, the bank wouldn't lend me money. So I'm borrowing from loan sharks, which is just increasing the debt because I'm just trying to keep the company's name up. If I filed bankruptcy, it was going to close the business down from a week to 2 weeks before it could be reopened and all these things. And I was in the public eye, and the judge may not let me spend money on marketing like I want to spend. And, you know, I'd lose control of the business, and everything was just falling around my ankles. It would have been horrible. And so that was an absolute awful, awful, awful time. And it built character, but there was a period when I was so broke. I went in our personal savings account, and I told another guy this story on his podcast. There was $75,014 and so many pennies in that account, and you know where this is going. And didn't ask my wife. I just went and I hit that transfer button, and it was linked to our business accounts, and I, you know, transfer 75,000. Enter, then the Are You Sure box, move that mouse over, and I click yes, and just thought she wouldn't notice. That was our last bit of savings. That was
Oof.
it. And my wife came unglued. And those that have met my wife know she's a little bitty, but she's a pistol. And she let me have it, and she told me that I disappointed her, disappointed the family, and I had, you know, failed everyone that was depending on me. And for a male, which you can relate to, Josh, that's the worst words you can hear as a man. That you want to provide, whether we like it or not, that's the way
Right.
our culture's set up, you want to provide. And when you're told that you are not able to provide, in fact, you are bringing people that want to take to the front doorstep, I mean, really bad. So, all that being said, it was a rough time. It was a very rough time. Got through it, navigated it, and my wife supported me. Got to the other side, and you know, went to a meeting. Was standing there at a meeting. Somebody handed me the microphone, wanted me to share. I didn't want to share. About 80 guys in the room, and I share for 90 seconds. I'm still full of a lot of piss and vinegar. It's 2015, most of the way out of my mess, and I get the mic. And so I don't know what I'm the last guy to talk for the day. I say something really harsh, but it gets everybody's attention. They go, okay, that's a wrap. They end the meeting. I'm like, they're gonna kick me out of this. I shut my laptop, I put it in my backpack, I zip it up, I throw it on my back, I turn around and leave. And there's 20 guys standing there, and they got me pinned against the wall. And they just start blasting me with questions. And they're like, dude, you know more than the trainer. I was like, no, I don't. I'm like, yes, you do. I was like, no, I don't. And they just kept asking me questions. I kept instantly answering them. And what I didn't realize was how much the pain had ingrained in me the knowledge that I had. So for those that are out there right now that are just going, man, I don't want to go through this or I don't want to go through that, what you don't realize is you can't do more than you are, and I wasn't enough. And what turned me into who I am today is what I went through during that period.
You were talking about, a lot of times in business as entrepreneurs and everything else, there's many a times I know people have been in, they feel like they're in that quicksand and they're not able to get out. And you kind of mentioned that real brief and kind of hopped over it. What, and you said you teach a little bit on it. What have you found that has kind of helped in those times, but then some different things that have moved you out of that area?
So imagine when you're in quicksand and there's multiple vines and sticks laying around you. And you could grab what you think is the strong stick. You can grab what you think is the strong vine. But the greasy, nasty, slimy vine that you don't want to grab, covered in mud, might be the vine you have to grab to pull you out of that mess. And because we want to elegantly, and what would be another way to describe it? We want to save face as we get out of the quicksand. So we grab the nice sticks. We grab the things that look good. When most of the time, to get out of your mess as quick as possible, you just need to grab the nastiest, muddiest vine you can that has strength to it and crawl your butt out of that hole and get to work. Don't go take a shower. Get out of the hole and get to work. A lot of people confuse inaction with action. So here's inaction. Inaction is grabbing something, grabbing at something, then your heart of hearts you know won't work, but you use the excuse, I gotta at least try this before I do this drastic move. Like before I go fire a bunch of people. Like your way to get out might be to fire half your staff. But that's embarrassing and you don't want to do that. That's the slimy vine. I don't want to go do that. I don't tell people that I failed them and I didn't run the company with that fiduciary responsibility that would have made me make the correct decision. Instead, I screwed up. I spent too much money on myself for my family, or I didn't monitor things correctly. It's my fault. I'm sorry, I got to let you go. Without a severance, by the way.
Right.
And a lot of people can't do that. They just can't. And they wait until it's really, really bad. I'd tell you the number one tip I could give people, if you can imagine a chain, your job as a business owner is to start at this end of the chain and walk all the way over to this end of the chain. And for those listening, from my right hand to my left hand. And your job is to inspect every link in that chain. And when you find a link that's weak, it is your fiduciary responsibility to the rest of that company, all the families that depend on you, your family, your future, to take your welding torch out, cut that link out, and replace it with a new link. But if you wait until that link snaps and you knew it was the weakest link, because the chain is only as strong as the weakest link,
Right.
then what's going to happen is you're going to replace that link when you have to, but not when you needed to. And I like to run my business and I like to make decisions when I need to, not when I
Right.
have to. When I need to do something is like, hey, it's December. I need to start working on my marketing plan for next year. But if I wait until March and spring is here, well, now I have to. My marketing plan's coming out late. My business has started dipping. Things aren't going well. I ain't gonna do that. It's not what I'm gonna do. So, and it's the same with employees. You got a bad employee working for you. You're gonna wait until the gun's to your head and you have to do it? Or you're gonna do it now when you need to do it? And that's self-discipline. And you may go, Aaron, I've walked the chain. I'm at the other end. I'm over here at your left hand. Guess what? Turn around and walk back now. You never stop walking and you never stop inspecting every link. And if you keep replacing each weak link, what happens to the chain? In a couple of years, that chain's so strong. It's so much bigger. People think success comes by massive proportions, but what they don't understand is it comes incrementally and incrementally in small little adjustments. And then one day that chain's so strong, it's able to pick up something massive like what's happened with us that I never saw coming.
That's awesome, man.
I hope that helps somebody out there.
As entrepreneurs, a lot of people that I know watching this, you know, really type A, you know, go, 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 and everything. And like you said, there's are not comfortable sharing the vulnerabilities and things. What was kind of that first step or the part of that process to be able to start to share that or get that out there for you?
Yeah, it was a number of things. It wasn't just one thing.
Sure, so like, yeah, I just.
Yeah, I mentioned the life coach. She uses a method called The Work by Byron Katie, and Tim Ferriss has talked about this on his podcast and how it's been a huge shift for him with his mindset of his past and letting go of that and owning his past. And for me, that's what it helped me do as well. It helped to give me that bravery, that courage to talk about my story. And so for me, it was the life coach, The Work by Byron Katie, but then also Brené Brown's books, Daring Greatly, like I said, is a huge mindset shift for me about perception of guilt and shame. And then the next tangible step for me was after a couple of years of building up that bravery and owning my story to my family and my close friends, the ones that I cared about, it was like, okay, now do I do this in the public eye, being in the public eye? How do I do this? Because there's a delicate balance. You know, Brené Brown talks about oversharing versus being vulnerable. And I didn't want to just vomit all my past trauma and, like, you know, everything out there for everyone to see. But I had to do it in a careful way with steps of not just, okay, here's what happened, but here's the steps I took to help me heal and get to where I am today. So I wanted to give people steps because I know there's so many other people suffering and struggling like I was. So it took me a good 6 months to write my first social media post of here's what happened. Here's my and a podcast at the same time. So I did a blog post, social media post, and a podcast, and released it all on the same day and said, you know, here I am. This is me. You know, and had to put it out there, but with steps of helping other people. And it was crazy. In my mind, I was like, I can't put this out there. People will crucify me. They'll, you know, like my career will be over. But what happened instead was 95% of the reaction was positive. You know, it really was. But all we create these stories in our head of how scary it's going to be. And that's what paralyzes us from moving forward. But then you actually do it and you realize it was way scarier in my head than it is in reality.
Right. Yeah, I think that's what happens a lot of times is this is where we get all bent out at, like, oh, man, and just like start viewing all the multiple scenarios and what's going to happen. And, you know, from the whole negative side of it and not actually looking, we're limited, or a lot of people are limited looking at the positive, like, hey, this is the positive outcome. This is how it's going to help X, Y, and Z. And, you know, whether it's sharing it and it only helps one or two people, it doesn't help millions. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah.
I am Josh Felber. You are watching Making Bank. Get out and be extraordinary.
Thank you for listening to Making Bank. If you have enjoyed this episode, please leave a review. And sharing is caring. Follow Josh Felber on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram for more. You can also listen to Making Bank on Amazon Alexa, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and watch on Apple TV, Success Thinkers Network, Amazon Fire, and YouTube.